You have. You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you have decided to join me on today. I am excited about the program that God has scheduled for us on today, and God have a blessing for each and every you that have tuned in to with me on this show. I tell you, this is such an exciting day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad therein. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the beauty of his holiness. We have been talking about some great things over the progression of a week. We talked about the holiness of God. Also, since this is the week of the holy week that commemorate the time of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And we're looking at the events that centered around that great event that is so profound in the life of God's people. We want you to know that this is just going to be a tremendous blessing. So I want to just welcome you just to come on in and have a seat and bring your Bible, because the Lord have a word you on today. And why don't you just shout hallelujah. Amen. This live show is going to be talking on today about he is not here, he is risen. Our focus is going to be around the resurrection, which one is the greatest distinction of a child of God than any other religion or Christian or groups that are there. And we're talking about the life, death, and the burial of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, he lived, he died, and he was again, and to live forever. So let it be, amen. And so our scripture is going to be taken from Luke chapter 24, verses number 1 through verse number 12. Truly, this is the day that the Lord have made, and we as the children of God, I don't know about you, but I'm going to rejoice, and you ought to be glad about it, amen. And the scripture that we're going to be looking at that we talked about is Luke verses chapter 24, verses number 1 through 12, and I'm going to read it in your hearing. It reads on this line. Now, upon the first day of the week, of every very early in the morning, they came unto the curve, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by shiny garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day raised again. And they remember his words, and returned from the sepulcher, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the Jesus, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And so for the reading of that scripture, and so we're going to look at for on today, our focus verse is going to be on Luke chapter 24, verse number 6. And he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And so that's what we're going to be talking about on today. And so I want you to get your Bible and get your pen and your papers if you want, and write down some, take some notes if you want to. And we're going to go expeditiously through a particular lesson and talk on today and centered around about the fact of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the entombment of Jesus, the character of Joseph Arimathea, and then the boldness of Joseph and the kindness of Joseph. And then we're going to talk about the resurrection and then the certainty of that resurrection. So come on, let us join me, amen, on this morning. The empty tomb of Jesus Christ declares the resurrection power that no other religion can offer. God designed people to hunger for the supernatural. Thus, people of all nations have religion of one sort or of another that seem in some way to meet their needs. The one limitation common to all mankind is death, which is a focal point of many religions. If a religion can give significant meaning to death, then it can give significant meaning to life. Now, according to David Barnett, the editor of the World Christian Encyclopedia, nearly 10,000 distinct religions exist in the world, and the number is steadily growing. Now, we must recognize that many religion leaders from the past, and apparently even new ones today, are making claims that they have the answer to feed the hunger in the soul for something eternal. The leaders of the world's religion have one thing in common, the grave, the final resting place. The grave is no respecter of purpose. Its icy fingers grab young and old, male, female, the rich and the poor. While there is no way to determine how many tears have been shed at graveside, some things we do know about the grave. At some point in life, nearly everyone will contribute some of their tears there. Nearly everyone will become the point of some of these tears when they, too, are planted in the grave. Of all the miracles Jesus performed, victory over the grave is the most significant. This power to melt the chill of death and to bring everlasting life to the deepest, darkest could only come through the one whom himself came forth victorious over the grave in all of his icy powers. Jesus did this, but no other religious leader has demonstrated this power. One can deny Jesus, lie about him, say he did not exist, or just ignore him. But no religious entity has ever been able to put him back into the grave because he is risen, according to Luke 24 and 6. Only Jesus walked past the grave. The resurrection demonstrates the power of life over death, sickness, sin, and even the stress of our busy world today. To hear of the resurrection, however, is only part of its power. One should not only hear the story, but also live in the power of the resurrection. Like Jesus, we too must walk past the grave. As one study the scriptural passage dealing with the resurrection of the Lord, he should be careful to examine his own life by perhaps asking the following question: am I living in the power of the resurrection? Do I really believe the words of Jesus Christ? Is there evidence in my life that proves my belief? The real power of the resurrection was demonstrated not only 2,000 years ago, but it's also today in the lives of believers, those who refuse to succumb to the power of darkness and are willing to walk in the light of the resurrection daily prove that God in the flesh it was victorious over the grave. Moreover, the Spirit of God living in his people today still is victorious over death, hell and the grave. Now let's look at the entombment of Jesus and the characteristic of Joseph, the Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was known as a counselor. And you'll see that over in Luke 23 and 50. It seemed only fitting that the one called counselor by the prophet Isaiah 9 and 6, would be laid to rest in a tomb for counselor. The answer to all the questions of life was laid to rest in the tomb that belonged to the counselor who himself was in search of answers. For a brief moment, Joseph, the counselor, held all of life's answer in his hand, and then he buried him. Today, counselor shows up at a traumatic event, grief counselor, child counselor, crisis counselor. The list is almost endless. However, even before the resurrection, one thing was clear. Joseph, the counselor, has something yet to learn from Jesus Christ, the counselor. While history has not given us the exact location where Joseph was buried, we do know that he was able to repeat the miracle of walking out of the grave. Now, let's look at the boldness of Joseph. Joseph's unique place in the history was secured by his willingness to serve Jesus, even when it was seen there could be no benefit in it for himself. Joseph had a longing in his heart for something eternal. He waited for the kingdom of God and was most likely grieved when he laid the body of Jesus into his own tomb. Our text called Joseph a good man and a just man, and these values motivated him to provide as best as he could for the body of Jesus. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the governing body who consented to the death of Jesus, yet Joseph himself did not offer such consent. He was also a disciple, although perhaps not one only at openly at first. Joseph's ability as a counselor did not secure his place in history. Rather, it was his love for Jesus Christ that made him noteworthy. When he boldly approached Pilate, the man who had ultimately responsible for the death of Jesus, he made no secret of his desire. This seemed not out of character for a secret disciple, yet he begged for the body of Christ. With his own hand, he removed the bloody corpse and carefully washed and wrapped the body of Christ according to the custom of the day. In short, this suddenly bold disciple did all that he could, yet Joseph had no power over the grave. Yet while he owned the grave in which he placed the body of Jesus, he knew too that the same grave would one day own him. He showed the ultimate kindness and respect for Jesus and did all that a human could do for him under these circumstances. Now let's look at our next point. Our next point is the kindness of Joseph. In many ways, Joseph represented leadership in the church today. Just as he cared for the body of Christ, church leaders have a similar role in caring for the body of Christ, the church. Although Joseph provided a place for the body that he covered and tended to, he was powerless to give life to it. Certain leaders today care for the place where the body of Christ meet and give and guide the effort to care for the body of Christ, but they still depend on the Holy Spirit of God to breathe life into the church. Without that breath of life, the church is like the lifeless body of Jesus Christ, no different than the nearly 10,000 other religion in the world. However, with the life of Christ breathed into the church, life overcomes death. This work of the Holy Spirit does not minimize our human effort to prepare the body of Christ. Although Joseph's mission had to be accomplished, he was himself subject to the grave and depended on the Spirit of God for the ultimate outcome. It is vital that we do all we can for the body of Christ among us, but we must also remember that God is responsible for its life, the life of the church. Now, we just looked at the entombment of Jesus, and then we looked at the character of Joseph, Arimathea, who was the one that cared for the body of Christ. Now, what we're going to do now is take a look at an aspect, and this aspect is the resurrection of Jesus himself. And let's take a look at that. We're going to look at the devotion of the women. We're going to look at the perplexity of the women that was there and the report of the women and the wonder of Peter. Now, I think it's something that we must all take note that these women who were the ones seen and went to the tomb, and we'll talk about Mary, the one that seen him, in just a few moments. But let's take a look here. Jesus foretold the resurrection many times, and yet it remained a mystery to those following him. He told them about the tearing down the temple and the rebuilding it in 3 days. We know that he was talking about his own body, the cross, and the resurrection. But his disciples on that and believed only that he spoke of the building, the temple of Jerusalem. We read the gospel already knowing the outcome, but they heard the words of Jesus without knowing the end of the story. After knowing what we know about Jesus, we should be careful that we do not miss the power of the resurrection like his disciples did at that time. Now, the devotion of these particular women, the compassion and the devotion of the women to Jesus is obvious. They carefully noted where the body of Jesus was laid and went about the process of embalming it. This was no small gesture, as they, too, was doing all they could do for the crucified Christ. The perplexity of the women, the angels at the tomb remind the women, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hand of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day raised again. And they remembered his words, Luke 24:6-8. Jesus told them he would be crucified and would be resurrected. He even told them it would happen on the third day. But for some reason, both the women and the disciple failed to grasp the masses. It would seem that if they believed what Jesus told them, that they would have been eagerly awaiting the resurrection when they saw him crucified. Instead, they began preparing the body for eternity in the grave. When they saw his first two prophecy regarding being turned over to sinful men and being crucified, they should have immediately prepared for the third thing he died, which was the resurrection. Now, while the women were doing all they could do in the flesh for Jesus, their actions showed that they did not believe that Jesus told them, that they were perplexed when the body was not there when they had last observed it. Perhaps they imagined that the body was stolen, but if they had believed the prophecy of Jesus himself, they would not have been perplexed. One can only imagine how the scene might have been if they had really believed his word. Instead of the Bible telling only what happened after the resurrection, we could have a firsthand narrative of the moment Jesus from the tomb. Instead of showing up after him, he was gone, and seeing only the angel that remained, they could have been eagerly awaiting the resurrection on the third day. Imagine the testimony of the 11 have been sitting outside the tomb when Jesus stepped out as conqueror of the death of the grave. Rather than expressing confusion, imagine the joy they had felt as they witnessed the moment that Christ stepped forth with victory over the icy finger of grave. Perhaps the angels shouted at the resurrection, just as they did at his birth. However, only heaven will reveal if there was a supernatural expression of the glory of God at the resurrection. Now, the next thing that we're looking at, the women's report. These women reported of God, of what he had happened there. Jesus gave them an answer to their perplexity before they were perplexed. They knew the answer before they knew the question. After the angel reminded the women at the tomb of the words of Jesus, they left the graveside to tell the disciple that he spoke the rest of the story. However, the disciples did not believe either. We can easily understand why Peter and the we must remember that Jesus had told them the same story earlier. It may have seemed like a mystical story when Jesus had attempted to prepare them, yet they remain unprepared to face the truth. Before we label the disciples and the women as faithless people, we may need to examine our belief about the soon return of the Lord. He said he will return to love him, love his appearing, and we should be eagerly anticipating the day instead of living like it could be 1,000 years away. The women and the disciples were very close to Jesus in the flesh, yet they missed the resurrection. Nothing such. We should make certain that we are found with faith when the Lord returns. After all the miracles and his awesome teaching of ascension, certainly we could expect the disciples to remember the prophecy regarding the resurrection and to plan accordingly. Rather than preparing the body for eternal sleep, they would have prepared themselves to witness the greatest event of history, having been taught lesson in grief from the graves so long, they simply could not believe that the life of Christ was greater than the sting of death. Countless times they have seen the grave opened to swallow up friends and loved ones. Expect for that time that Jesus had raised the dead. They have never seen it give one back. Now Jesus was the one who was dead, and they perhaps wondered who could raise him. After all, they have seen him raising other people. After all that they had experienced with Jesus, it seemed they still believed in the grave more than they believed in the resurrection power of Jesus. Certainly, after all that true believers in Jesus Christ had experienced, after they have been miraculously filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, one would expect them to believe the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yet, like the devout woman who sought to prepare spices according to their custom for the burial of Jesus, Christians should be so focused on the day-to-day custom of Christianity that they could lose sight of the words of Jesus which he had spoken. They could be busy preparing the spices while they missed the entire purpose of the resurrection. They could be guilty of discussing who will roll away the stone or obstacles without realizing that it has already been moved and rolled away. This does not mean that they can neglect the day-to-day responsibility of living for God. On the contrary, the possibility of missing the purpose of Christian living that flows out of the resurrection of Jesus Christ calls us to even more diligent in our effort to live faithfully for him. We must closely examine in our lives, in the light of the Word of God, and be ever alert to the soft, tender speaking of his Holy Spirit. The fact that those close to Jesus could miss such an important event called us to heed the warning of Peter. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1 and 10. Now let's look at the wonders of Peter. He went to the tomb. Amen. After the women testified of the empty tomb, Peter examined the site where the body was laid. We have details as to how the grave clothes were placed, and the text tells us that the women observed closely where the body had been. There could be no mistake about the location of the grave site. The empty tomb is what set the biblical child of God apart from every other religion on earth. It is a concrete evidence that Jesus Christ has defeated death. If God in flesh can defeat death once, God in our flesh can also defeat the death for us. Apostle Peter declared that the same Spirit will quicken our mortal bodies. And you'll see that over in Romans 8, chapter 8. And verse 11, some unbeliever has surmised that Jesus did not die on the cross. Instead, he only swooned or fainted or was unconscious. They may think that he was devised a new reason to question the resurrection of Jesus, but their claim is not new. One need only to read the other books to see that different nations teach it that Jesus did not die on the cross. This argument is not new, but it is flawed nevertheless. Moreover, it is obviously wrong that he did die and that he did rise again. He rose again with all power in his hand. Despite the best effort of a mortician, and a dead person can just does not look like the person we remember. The appearance of death is unmistakable. That Joseph removed Jesus from the cross, washed and wrapped his body, and never noticed that he was yet alive is impossible. The women and others who saw him either before he was in place in the grave or shortly thereafter could not have been mistaken after Jesus being dead. We have written testimonies of those who saw the man Christ, Jesus. Others have claimed that the Jews or even the government soldiers stole the body. This is also obscured. If they have stolen the body, surely when the noise of the resurrection began, they would have produced the body to quiet the storm of the revival that was in the infantry after the resurrection and came into full focus after Pentecost. Have either of these groups stole the body to confound the disciples, they would have made sure it was discovered again in time to stop the talk of the resurrection. Matthew recorded the existence of the very conspiracy. Matthew 28, verses 12 through 15, you'll find the conspiracy of being talked about that his body was not rose from the dead, but was stolen. Still, other unbelievers claim the disciples stole the body to give the appearance of the resurrection. This is also easily confronted with the truth of the scripture, for the disciple was equally perplexed when they heard of the resurrection. Thomas refused to believe it altogether until witnessing the resurrection Christ for himself. Certainly they had planned the theft of the body that could have pronounced the resurrection themselves rather than being perplexed at the report of it. Now, let's look at the certainty of the resurrection. And it did happen to Chaka. And it is, he has risen. And he is alive today, sitting on the right hand of God. The certainty of the resurrection. The tomb was empty. Despite the question and the perplexity the resurrection caused the women and the disciple, today we can obviously certain that it did, in fact, happen. It seemed like the ministry of Jesus before the resurrection was longer and filled with many miracles. But the fact remains that his ministry after the resurrection is still ongoing some 2,000 years later. Miracles still occur, and each one testified to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is still yet alive and well. Now let's look at the next point. Jesus appeared to many who knew him. Jesus himself made sure there could be no question about the authenticity of the resurrection. According to all four of the gospel, he presented himself for inspection at least 10 times. Luke records two of them. Number one, to the Emmaus bound disciples in Luke 24:13-35. Then he also appeared to the 10 disciples. Thomas was not present at that particular time. And we'll find that over in verse 36-49. In the book of Acts, Luke wrote that Christ made the resurrection certain among many by showing himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And why don't you check that out over in Acts chapter 1, verse number 3, when he's speaking of the things that was pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at one of the most powerful evidence of his resurrection. The most powerful evidence of the resurrection is the testimony of the angel. He is not here. He is risen, over in Luke 24:6. Today we can echo the testimony. Every sinner who finds grace at the cross of Jesus Christ can say, he is risen. Every backslider who is renewed at the cross can say, he is risen. These words begin at the lips of the angel, but they still ring loud and true today. He is risen. We must recognize he is risen from the dead. The resurrection set the child of God apart from all other religion, but its full effect is not restricted to the man. To Jesus, the man Jesus Christ, this great faith begins shortly after the life re-entered the body of Jesus Christ in the tomb. It becomes alive in the church when the breath of life blows through an upper room filled with believers who desire more from Jesus. They experience his ministry firsthand and wanting him to continue the ministry in their life according to his promise. Today, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we too can walk past that grave, a life of sin and corruption, and wash away when we are baptized in his name. We raise from the watery grave to walk in the newness of life. The resurrection is proved again when we die to sin and are raised in the power of the Holy Ghost. There are always be critics who question the resurrection based on their lack of faith. There are many always those who will not read the Bible to see for themselves that the resurrection is true. However, no one can deny the new life witnessed in the center who receive the Holy Ghost. It is that Holy Ghost power that raise a person up from a life of death, death to sin, death to corruption, death to iniquity, who raised up in the newness of life. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost resurrection power. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to whosoever will come and allow themselves to be received that same Holy Ghost and repenting of their sin, being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, they will receive power, Holy Ghost power, that same power that Jesus spoke to his disciple and told them to go back to Jerusalem and tarry ye there till you receive power from on high, that you can receive this same resurrection power, power to witness, to be a witness unto him who? Jesus Christ, of his power, his miraculous power that still yet exude in the body of his believers. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, child of God, don't live beneath your privilege of having that same yet power living and exuding in your life today. It's for you. He died over 2,000 years ago that you might live above sin, corruption, and iniquity, and that you can live in the newness of life through the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. Read your Bible. Ask God to open up your understanding as you seek him with your whole heart and mind. The Bible said that you will be found of him as you seek him with your whole heart, mind, and soul. That you will be found of God. Amen. Nothing can testify to the resurrection any stronger than a life turned around by the power of Jesus Christ. When the power of the Holy Ghost turn our lives around, we echo the words of the angel. He is risen. When a sinner raises from the grave of baptism and walk in the power of the resurrection, the light of the gospel shines into the deepest of the darkness and melt the icy fires of the grave. We should live our lives in such a way that we can be no question about our hope of a resurrection. We should walk in a way that let everyone know that the one who overcame the grave redeemed us back unto himself. We have been washed in his blood, forgiven by his mercy, filled with his spirit. He is risen. And we should allow him to raise and live in and through our lives, child of God. He is risen with all power in his hand, child of God. And we must recognize the significance of this time. Many people will celebrate Easter. But we focus our point on the child of God, focus our point on the resurrection power of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He have all power in his hand. If he have not risen from his dead, from the dead, from the grave, where would we be today? But thanks be God that he is risen with all power in his hand. Grave could not hold him. Oh, death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? Amen. Because our Lord, he has risen, and he's risen with all power in his hand. And I want you to be encouraged, child of God, that the Holy Ghost power is for everyone. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him or let come. That power is available for you. And what better time and what better place than for you on this day to hear and heed the apostolic call of, Lord, here am I. Oh, Lord, what must I do to be saved, child of God? Jesus will let you know today, repent of your sin and go down in the precious name of Jesus for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive power, Holy Ghost power, that resurrection power, life-giving power, that tongue-talking power that will change your attitude, that power will change your life, that power that will change your behavior, that power will change your affection, that power will change your home, that power that will change your destiny to the destiny that God has already ordained in his mind for you, child of God. God wants to do this in your life on today, child of God. And oh, as I touch and agree with you on today, for that God will just open up your understanding about living in the power of the resurrection. That's what makes the difference right there. To ask yourself the question, yes, I believe the gospel. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is God manifested in the Son, in his Son. I believe the Word of God, and I believe in God. But you may be saying, well, I don't have that. I don't live in the power every day of the resurrection. I observe it during the time of Easter or around the Resurrection Sunday. I observe that, but I don't live my life daily in that power. I want to invite you, child of God, to say, oh God, I want the Holy Ghost that Pastor Orm is talking about. I want that Holy Ghost that I can live in the resurrection power every day of my life. And that's what I'm talking about, not living beneath your privilege. It's your privilege, child of God, to live in that power of the resurrection that he has attained for his body, the body of believers. And to ask yourself the question, do I really believe the words of Jesus? And is my life, is there evidence of that power in my life every day in which I live? Those are powerful questions to ask ourselves. And I invite you throughout this next coming weekend that you would ask of yourself or each day in which you live, am I living in that power? Have I experienced the power that comes with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost? Amen. And watch God do a miraculous work in your life, through your life, even in the life of your family, because that resurrection power that raised Christ up is resident in your temple, this earthly temple. I pray, child of God, that this open up your eyes and enlighten you and empowered you or stirred your hunger and thirst after more of God. And you may say, I don't have that. I knew that there's something missing in my life, but I didn't understand what it was. But now I have the revelation and understanding that I don't have that power that she's talking about. And I want that power that she's talking about to be in my life. I tell you, child of God, ask of God. God is able and God will give it to you because he said, whosoever will, let them come. Come to the wells of the water that springeth up life, where out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. God wants to do it for you, child of God. All you have to do is ask of him, and he will and shall do it in and through your life, child of God. Watch him do it for you on today. I am so glad that you had this opportunity to be with us on today and to hear the fact round about and centered about the resurrection power of our Lord. We thank God for that which he has done through in and through the lives of his people, the resurrection power. And we want you to know, child of God, it is for you. It is for whosoever will. The same resurrection power is available for his people even on this day. I thank God for the cross. I thank God for that old rugged cross that has brought forth our redemption, that the price of mankind's redemption was paid over 2,000 years ago. Yes, we looked at the various things, but we want to recognize that that supernatural power that exuded off of the cross of Calvary, and how that he died for us, that we may be free. We must recognize, child of God, that his burial followed with the tenderness and tears as they took his body off that grave and put them in a tomb. But what happened at the cross cannot and shall not be forgotten, that the blood of Jesus Christ purchased the forgiveness and redemption from sin for all people and whosoever will receive it. The Apostle Paul later cried the issue of commitment for the Christian by declaring that you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20, 7 also, chapter 7:23, based on the purchase, believers should surrender themselves to be servants of Jesus Christ. The word of the old hymn that was sung by George Bernard still rang true. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Years before the Calvary cross mentioned the need of his followers to carry the cross, which is twice mentioned in Luke, his gospel. Today, constantly be mindful that we still yet carry our own cross, the symbol of self-denial, and moving forward in the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as you celebrate, I want you to remember the blood that was shed on Calvary. It have not lost its power. It still yet have power today. Is by his stripes we are healed. I can hear the Bibles talking over in Isaiah 53. If you go over and read that today, read it before you even go to church on Sunday and call to remembrance the things that was gone on that purchased our liberty. Child of God, I know that you will be blessed, oh God, just to remember that which Jesus had did for us over 2,000 years ago. It was a costly price. He paid the ultimate price. Isaiah 53:5 states, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Every one of the stripes that he had taken over 2,000 years ago has purchased your healing and your deliverance, child of God. So as we live as children of God, royal priesthood, holy people, peculiar people, because we have been bought with that precious price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we highly esteem that price that's paid for our liberty 2,000 years ago. So as you celebrate, child of God, I call your mind to remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. Let us lift up holy hands. Let us praise his holy name for the work that he has wrought over 2,000 years ago. Shall we shout hallelujah? Gracious Father, we thank you, O God, for this time to look back on the fact that you have risen with all power in your hand. And, oh God, that we can partake also with that same resurrection power, dear God. Oh God, as we receive your precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance, that same resurrection power will exude and reside in the life of your people. Oh God, I pray that you open every understanding, every heart and mind and soul, that they will receive of you, even as this word, your word has spoken, dear God, that ones whose heart is stirring up and stirred and desiring the Holy Ghost, Lord, I ask that you fill them, Lord. I ask that you bring them to that place, oh God, that put that angel across their path that will, Lord, minister even the baptism of the Holy Ghost to that individual that's seeking it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we thank you, oh God, for what you have done for us over 2,000 years ago. We praise your blessed name and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. May God bless you is my prayer. And I pray that this session has been a blessing to you. And outweigh, I will say in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're one question away from your blessing. I hear the Bible said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. It is my prayer that the blessings of the Lord, which maketh you rich and add no sorrow, will come to your house today and your household and your children and your children. May the Lord our God continue to bless you and keep you and strengthen you is my prayer as we celebrate this special time, as we commemorate the raising up of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who purchased our redemption. Don't forget the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed for your liberty, and celebrate our Lord as we lift up our holy hands unto the Lord our God and give him all the praise, glory, and honor. I want you to know, child of God, in the radio land, wherever you may be, I want you to know I am praying for you and praying for the work that God has wrought in your hand, that God will continue to supply all of your needs, and that none of your needs, not a one, will go lack, but God will open the doors, the windows of heaven, and pour you and the ministry that God has called you to and the mission that God has called you to. Remember, there without a vision, the people will perish. And every vision that God will give his children, God will make the provision. And I come to tell you that God is going to bless your ministry and bless your work as you endeavor to build up the kingdom of God and provide for his people. God's going to overtake you and bless you, and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I want you to know that home will be praying for you, and want you to know that my earnest thoughts and prayers are with you as we touch and agree as covenant partners. I've been receiving emails and messages from India. I received a message on yesterday from India. I received my message from the Philippines and a message also from my friend there in Uganda, Africa. And I want you to know that Pastor Arm, we are praying with you and believing God that God is going to open some great and effectual doors unto you. I want you to know we are definitely in proxy and in prayer with you. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare cave in. God is going to send you help. God is going to undergird you. Wipe those tears out from up under your eyes. It's not over but is just now beginning, because you serve the Resurrector, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh, walked upon this face of this earth, redeeming mankind back unto himself, healing the sick, raising the dead, performing miracles. That same power is available and being sent to you as help. And I pray that God would tremendously bless you. I want to hear from you today. I want to hear what God is doing in your ministry on today. Send me an email. Send me a message. Let me know if this has been a blessing to you on today. Let me know. I would love to come and be a part of your ministry and come there and pray with your prayer warriors and pray with the ministry as well. Send me a message and send for me. I will definitely come by the grace of God. If it's God's will, I will come. But I want you to rest assured this one thing, to know that I am praying for you, and don't you dare come down. And before you give up, you go back down on your knees, go back in your prayer closet and ask of God, and watch God do it on your behalf. We serve the risen Savior. He's a saving God. He got all power in his hand. Even this universe, put to him, speak to the wind, stay, and watch God perform a miracle. He said, it's nigh thee, even in your mouth, ask of me. And see if I will not come through on your behalf. Watch God do it for you, child of God. Prayer. May God bless you. Until we meet again, may you have a blessed time on this coming weekend as you celebrate the victory of the cross of Calvary as the Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate that time and giving our Lord and our Savior our earnest prayer. May God richly bless you and keep you is my prayer. May God bless you till we meet again. God bless.